What you have before you are two concepts that are important as an introduction to the practice of Lectio Divina. The first, at the top, is the notion of monologistic prayer. Although this word is derived from the Greek terms monos and logos, meaning one word, in fact it does not mean single word prayer. It would be more properly described as short phrase prayer. Prayer or invocation that involves the repetition within the heart or audibly within the mouth of a particular phrase that invokes the Lord. For example, the Jesus Prayer in the Eastern churches is monologistic prayer, but it involves the formula, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. That's the usual longer form, as we'll discuss later in this course. The formula John Cashin recommends in his conferences is, O God, come to my assistance, O Lord, make haste to help me. Short phrase, not single word. This tradition has its origins in a very real sense with Christ himself. The amazing thing about the Lord's Prayer, and what the text that I have given you is the introduction to the Lord's Prayer, the amazing thing about this prayer on the lips of Jesus is its shortness in relation to other kinds of prayer that were popular in his day. For example, the prayers which would be prayed in the morning and in the evening by every pious Jewish man, involving the use of tefillim or phylacteries, were very prolonged. It was a very common use of ritual phrases that were very extensive, the repetition of blessings that were quite long. In contrast, Jesus recommends that his disciples use a relatively short prayer. And in the text I've given you, he specifically recommends that we not heap up empty phrases, that we engage in prolonged prayer using babble or many words. Instead, pray, he says, like this, Our Father. And then the prayer, which is in a very real sense a repetition of the simple invocation, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, prayed in a variety of different aspects and contexts. So the notion of short phrase prayer, although it has its own tradition and its own development, as we will look at later in this course, really has its origins even in the recommendation of Jesus himself, the Lord's Prayer in its amazingly brief form compared with other prayer forms of its day. The second concept, just a bit further down, which involves a look at Psalm 1, is the idea of meditation. And with this word, we revisit the concept that was described in the paper that you read at the beginning of this course on why are we contemplatives, what is our future, the idea that often the West is criticized for not having its own legitimate form of meditation. This is utterly false. The West does. The Christian tradition does have its own legitimate kind of meditation, and the word meditation is a real indication of what that is. The word meditation or meditatio is the Latin equivalent of the Greek meletao, which is the word in the Septuagint or Greek version of the scriptures which translates the Hebrew haggah, the word that is used to describe in the first psalm, the psalm that introduces the Psalter, that in a very real sense tells us how the psalms are to be prayed. The word haggah describes what it is that the just person does with the biblical text, with the psalms. He meditates day and night. And the word literally means to repeat in the heart, to recite within the self, to say, literally audibly, over and over, the particular phrase that is being taken in and memorized. The word meditatio to us would be the equivalent of a recitation with the goal of memorizing, holding and repeating for the sake of taking the word inside yourself. The third concept that is described on this page is paresia, freedom of speech. When one considers Lectio Divina, including as it does the step or stage or rung or aspect of prayer, oratio, it is important to remember that although Lectio is derived from, inherited from, the Jewish forebears of Christianity, in fact the Christian brings a unique approach to prayer, paresia, or freedom of speech, is something which the Lord encourages us to have in our relationship with the Father, which is found in St. Paul's epistles and also especially in the letter to the Hebrews. It comes from an ancient Greek notion that applied to someone who was a full citizen in one of the democratic city-states. If you were a citizen, you had the unique privilege of paresia, the right to speak freely in the assembly, to raise any issues you wish, to criticize if you wanted to stand up boldly and proclaim. And this was a very privileged and jealously guarded right of citizens. It did not belong to slaves. It did not belong to the large population that were not technically citizens of the state. It was a very specific and precious privilege of those who were parts of those early democratic institutions. The Catechism of the Catholic Church describes the theological notion of paresia that we find in the New Testament as straightforward simplicity, filial trust, joyous assurance, and I like this in particular, humble boldness, a willingness to be forthright in prayer, to bring to God anything at all because of, as the Catechism goes on, the certainty of being loved. Paresia, freedom in speech, boldness bringing anything to God is because we know we are loved. This is a characteristic of Christian prayer. And below that text are some examples from the scriptures of the use of this phrase, first in the Old Testament and the Septuagint. Wisdom is seen as singing aloud and in broad places using paresia, speaking boldly. Wisdom speaks boldly. Christ says that in speaking of the Father, the hour is coming when he will no longer speak in parables, but speak plainly of the Father, paresia. And he began to teach them that he would suffer many things. And this plain teaching in Mark 8, in the third text that I've given you there, is a paresia which is offered to us in the form of Peter, but which we may not want to hear. Jesus tells us what is to happen, and Peter rebukes him. God's paresia to us is the necessary obverse of our freedom of speech in God. If we would bring anything to God, we must have hearts that will listen to whatever God brings to us, and we may not find it easy, as Peter doesn't in this text. Then the example from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians. He describes that we have boldness and confidence of access, that's the way paresia is translated here, through our faith in Christ. We have confidence of access because of who Christ is. And in the letter to the Hebrews, we have confidence in drawing near to the throne of grace. So in the context of Lectio Divina, these three concepts, short phrase prayer following the example of Jesus, a meditatio, a pondering or holding in the heart based on the Old Testament notion of repeating within ourselves a word that makes the scriptures part of ourselves, and a prayer that is characterized by paresia, by freedom, by boldness, a kind of a shining-eyed willingness to bring to God everything and anything at all. These are three very important characteristics that will lie behind our ongoing study of Lectio Divina.